So then the other part of this becomes, where's San Antonio in all of this? Utah's, they're just a perpetual win in the teens team. Mm-hmm. New Orleans isn't off to the best start. Mm-hmm. Okay. Phoenix, you just go ahead. Just, you're going to have to show me. Mm-hmm. Dallas, I'm a little unsure about.
I got them in the bottom five.
Where do you have Portland?
They're 9, 10, 11. So,
okay.
Fighting for one of those spots.
Okay. So.
And when I say that, the Kings.
Someone else got to go. So likely Dallas.
Well, you got Utah, New Orleans, yep. Dallas, Phoenix, and then I think Portland will be in there with maybe you say the Kings and stuff, like teams like that fighting.
Where's Memphis this year?
Memphis might be in that bottom five. Or I'm going to show them some respect with Ja and Jaren Jackson and say, let's just say like this, Kings, Portland, Memphis fighting 8, 9, 10, and 11. I know that's only three teams, but like.
Did you see Kevin Pelton's? They did a write-up for. Like I think the title it was the cover it was the top story on ESPN.com. Of course the cycle moves so quickly I might not be able to find it, but here they are. How all 30 NBA teams can ace their offseason. In each thing has a move that they should make. And Pelton said DeRozan to Dallas for P.J. Washington. Mm. Mm. I get that on both levels. Mm-hmm. He also says Dallas could include Klay Thompson or Najee Marshall and Dwight Powell, something like that, to make a deal work. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that before as I was running through Dallas's roster, because I'm not as sold as you are that they're a bottom five team. But if you sold me on them being the 10th team again, I'd be more likely to, like, if I had to buy one of the two today, mm-hmm. I'd likely buy the 10 versus the bottom five. Hmm. I don't think they're that.
10.
They're not that much. I don't. Sorry.
If Anthony Davis is healthy.
I know you have to, but like, I think they're okay. They're not a contender. They're not any team I'm worried about, despite the fact they beat us by 40 at home in the play-in. But
I mean, yeah, 10 is fine. I don't look at them down there with Utah.
Sure, you know, I understand.
So
that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the fourth team, right? Like, okay. I mentioned four teams between 8, 9, 10, and 11. You know, Dallas might be the fourth team in that mix. I also look at San Antonio, who I think is. Definitely a potential playoff team or whatever. If they don't like add anybody else and they just go into this offseason like how they are, I don't know if they're like for sure top six.
Who?
San Antonio.
Oh, sure.
You know, they might be hanging around there.
Yeah, I think that's a tall ask too. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that it can't be done. That's a tall ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole
top six was like 50 wins last year. Yeah. Is this a 50 win basketball team right now? I don't know that it is.
So. I don't think so. The whole premise of it though is like I look at the Kings and I look at everything that they dealt with, went through last year. They were still able to get 40 wins.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more stability. It feels like this year. You add a couple of guys, a couple of rookies. Now I'm not expecting them to be like rookie of the years, but can help you. You know, I think both of those guys will help. You get a full year JV. Maybe LaVine is a little bit more comfortable. I mean, there was chaos on and off the court, inside the franchise, outside the franchise. If there's more stability, I don't think it's crazy to think maybe they get five more wins. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're going to be a 55 win team with this roster, but.
So I can absolutely see that happening. It just keeps them in the same spot. Mm-hmm. And like again, it all boils down to if they win both playing games, no one cares.
Right.
I don't think anyone cares. Like, you can bitch and moan and be frustrated all season. And again, I understand. But if you win both games, okay, maybe you're going to be happy to be in the playoffs. Then when they get eliminated, you're going to bitch and moan again that they haven't built something, you know, for the long term. And I understand. Scott Perry, for the next, probably this season, this offseason and next offseason, there's probably not a lot he can build. Mm. He's probably surviving the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I think he has a stronger opportunity to do something more grand, whatever you might see that to be it rebuilding, restructuring, or maybe potentially acquiring a player who wants out or something along that lines. I think he might have a better opportunity to do that next year, because you'll have the DeRozan situation almost certainly coming to an end with the partial guarantee thing that he has. And then LaVine's in his final year. And if you keep having these, you know, second apron teams that fall short, or even these first apron teams that fall short, they're going to try to shed money. And if you can't shed it all at once, you can shed as much as you can, mm-hmm. and take back it's like the Drew Holiday thing. Drew Holiday, you're not shedding his $30-something million this year. You're shedding the $70 million he's owed over the years following. Mm-hmm. Zach LaVine, nearly 50 for a year, and you're out. That could save a team in the right situation $100 to $100-something million.
Yeah, no, that's the reality of the situation. I look in the chat and let me know what you think about this. Shout out to Mark in the chatty house. He says team next year going to be closer to 30 wins than the 50. And here's what I would say about this. If that's how you feel about the team, then that's cool. And I don't know Mark's stance on this at all. So I'm just using this as a guide, because other people probably feel the same way about this roster. If this team, if you really believe this team is closer to 30 wins than 50, then I don't want to hear anything else about Keon Ellis. Like, I don't want to hear nothing. A team that's closer to 30 wins than 50, nobody should be getting an extension. Nobody. Facts. And you should be looking to move everyone. So this is what I was talking about earlier when I'm trying to figure this thing out. If you think this team is that, like, closer to 30 than 50, then I don't really want to hear anything about Keon Ellis or anybody else for that matter. Because not one person, if they're closer to 30 wins, should be getting an extension or should even be talked about getting an extension, if that's the case. And you should be looking to move every single person on this roster.
Hmm.
Just a PSA. That's all. Hmm. If you believe that and you still are upset about Keon, I don't understand what you're talking about.
I think that's actually perfectly fair. If Keon, yeah, that's perfectly fair. Someone asked earlier, I don't remember the context of it. Someone said, are you telling me we have 3 to 5 untouchable players on this team? If so, we're in trouble. Bro, we have zero players.
Zero.
Absolutely zero.
Zero guys.
If DeMontis Sabonis was traded today, fine. All I said regarding DeMar, most people have talked about DeMar DeRozan being traded for the last 2 months as if it was a matter of when and not if. Mm-hmm. We're not willing to do that anymore. We had the conversation. Are we sure DeMar DeRozan has to be traded? And I don't know who was listening to that conversation, but word got back to us that, hey, maybe he's not. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be more growing momentum that he's not going to be traded. There seems to be a sentiment that they're struggling trading everybody else, which takes me back to DeMar for a second. Because if DeMar does have a market, be it small or otherwise, you probably have to go back to entertaining trading him if he's the only guy you can trade. Hmm. If there is a deal out there that allows you to acquire, like the Dallas one we mentioned a few minutes ago, If that's the move that you can make that maybe balances out that roster, eliminates the cluster at the 1 and 2 spot, and kind of takes care of that, then yeah, like, okay, let's go with this. Mm-hmm. Let's try this. But the idea of DeMar has to go, I don't think that might have been real within the fan base. I don't think it was real within that front office.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And you know, they've got some things that they've got to work around because what the regime before left them, as far as contract, players, roster, all this other stuff. They got some things they got to work around as far as, are we going to try to be competitive, or can we even bottom out the way we want to, or the way some people think we should, because of the contracts we have on this roster? Is that even realistic or feasible? We've been saying that for months, you know, to everybody that wants them to bottom out. Like, you can't just trade Sabonis, LaVine, and DeRozan and be bad. Like, you can't just trade those guys. Where are they going? What's the trade partners? We talked about early in the show about how terrified these people are of the aprons. So mm-hmm. You can't just, they're in a tough situation, I think. Scott Perry, BJ Armstrong, those guys. And they've got to make the best of the bad situation until they can get to a point, I believe, where they can clearly either tear it all down or clearly start to make moves to be a winner. But that might not happen for a year or two.
It's not a quick fix, man. Mm-mm. 3 o'clock isn't going to be a quick fix for this basketball team. I'm going to quote President Obama in 2008. We might not get there in 1 year. We might not get there in one term, but we'll get there. This won't be one free agency. This won't be one trade deadline, but hopefully the Sacramento Kings will get there. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a process, which I hate that word as is associated with basketball now. It's, absolutely.
It's part of the part of the dictionary, the basketball dictionary.
It really
sports
is.
Dictionary.
It is. Yeah, it has become a part of the lexicon for the game, man. And it's almost feels like a punchline. Like people, like if so, I hate it when people use the term trust the process as a, maybe like in the realm of basketball. Like if you use it outside, it's like, oh, maybe they don't know the 76ers motto. But when you use, oh, yeah, you got to trust the process. No, why don't you shut up? The process was a failure. The process was an absolute failure. You did all of that work. That's why I still don't understand the tank crowd. They are the poster children for tanking. They did all of that to get back to the same exact spot that they were before they started tanking. And now you think we got it bad. That organization is in hell because they're paying Joel Embiid 60 some odd million dollars for the next 3 years, praying to God that brother can walk.
Just saying those.
Then you talk about being optimistic. You just, man, there's no way that was Paul George last year. That's what every 76ers fan is trying to tell themselves. That couldn't have been Paul George. Now he gonna bounce back. All right, man. Yeah, because that's what you do at 35. You bounce back. We'll come back. TC, hang tight. I can't wait to hear what TC got for us today. 916-909-1320. We'll hit the Elk Grove Kia Talk line when we return here. We're counting down 2 hours, less than 2 hours, to the start of NBA free agency here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, let's see what TC talking about here on the day of free agency. 916-909-1320. TC, what's good, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, my guy? How you doing, big dog?
Hey, I'm all right, man. Had a good weekend, man. Just, you know, ready for fireworks. Hey, so what I got today, right, is, hey, I'm going to be honest with you, D-Lo. I'm cool with West. Hey, I know you is, too. I'm not saying that y'all not saying that, but honestly, I think that's the move, bro, Schroeder and Westbrook, and they can split them in or however they want to do it. You signed Schroeder to that two-year deal worth about, what, 13 a year, 12 a year, and then you can go ahead and sign Brody for five. We can either do a multi-year if you want to, Russ, or we could do the one-year deal, however you want to do it, bro. but that can solidify our point guard situation until we find out what we want to do a couple years down the line. We locked in. I'm with you, Kenny. If we bring them two dudes in, where we stand at right now, bro, we're a way better team, bro. I give us like 46, 47 wins. We're a way better team than what we was. As far as a trade, am I looking at that right? When Ham said earlier, did he say Dallas? Did he say P.J. Washington? Who was that? Who was the other two players?
It was P.J. Washington and potentially Klay Thompson was in there. I think Najee Marshall might have been mentioned.
Okay, so I said, hey, listen, so I got P.J. Washington, Najee Marshall, and Martin for DeRozan. I mean, I know we say we ain't moving off him, right? But if we are moving off of him, I think that might be a cool trade for DeRozan and Devin Carter for them three guys. Najee, P.J. Washington, and the boy Martin. It worked.
Okay. All right, T.C. Well, tell us how you – we don't have
that
to
one, that one he didn't steal from nobody. We know that because he worked that on the fly.
Was well, I say did he?
No,
just
that
take...
was on ESPN. Yeah. Like I think he added a little TC flair to it.
Yeah,
that was the trade I just referenced.
Just drop, yeah. He just dropped the players.
That's all it was.
Yeah, he added a little own flavor to it. He added. I mean, the basis right. of the deal was, yeah, it was already out there. But
that's all right.
The TC's credit, you know. Okay, well, this is how we spruce it up a little bit.
Not TC working.
What do you think it was like to have a group project with TC back then?
Man. Man, I am not sure. I know he probably got an A, though. He probably got an A.
He did the presentation.
Yeah, he did was there. The presentation. Yeah.
I mean, he's
the one to explain it all.
Yeah, TC got charisma. He was just up there explaining, hey, man, this is what we're doing. I love when he addresses us individually. That's my favorite thing. No, I'm with you, KC. And then talk for 5 minutes. Hey, D-Lo, I think you're right. Like, man, I love that boy. I love TC.
Shout out my guy TC.
I love
man.
TC, man.
TC be locked in, bro. He be locked in.
What do you think? I don't know. What did you think about the PJ Washington idea? That it what not ours that was presented by ESPN and their ways that teams can ace free agency.
I like that potential deal. It bounces out the roster a little bit. You know, when you talk about being able to have PJ at the four, it gives you some flexibility with a guy like Keegan. Mm-hmm. You know, whether both of those guys are interchangeable. And depending on the matchup, depending on what's going on with your team and the other team, you can figure out, hey, we want PJ to be at the four, Keegan, you're at the three, or vice versa. So you got that. Mm-hmm. You got Zach as the lone shooter. Well, we'll just say PJ because I know you – mentioned Klay Thompson, all this other stuff, but we'll just assume just PJ. You got Zach as the lone shooting guard. You know, you got Clifford coming off the bench. You got that. You got Nasty Boy coming off the bench. You got Schroeder. You have to still got to figure out what's going on with that logjam at the guard spot. But I like that deal. I do like that deal. And I like PJ Washington. I'm a fan of his game. And I think he feels a need for what this Kings team has a void in right now, and that's that power forward spot, a true starting power forward spot. Even though I think Keegan Murray's a power forward, but a lot of people think that he should be a three. And I don't know. We'll see. I haven't seen anything where consistently he moves well enough to guard threes on a consistent basis. I haven't seen enough shot creation from him on the offensive end to be the three that I would particularly like, but you know, maybe he just hasn't had the opportunity. Maybe he just needs more time.
Let's see what CJ's talking about here. 916-909-1320. CJ, what's happening, baby?
What's up, fam? How we doing today?
Good, man. How you doing, big dog?
Oh, you know, chilling, man. You know, I just want to, it might not be a popular take, man, but I'm just going to throw it out there.
All good.
Number one, we're not no 30-win team. I think last year we had a cluster of a year just because of all the drama and everything like that. So I definitely think – I think you guys talked about that on the show on Friday, D-Lo, when you were talking with and we just figure out what's going on with Jake LaRavia or getting a replacement with him. If you can grab somebody like a PJ or like a Najee Marshall, cool. But, like, let's see what the team actually has. And if you're trading right now, we've already found out there's not a trade market for a lot of our guys. And I think a lot of that has to do with the cluster of a year that we were going through. last year. They couldn't perform. They couldn't perform at their peak performance because there's a lot of mental stuff going on. So we have a decent year next year, even if it's not like what Kings fans want. You know, I want to get back in the playoffs. I want to be competitive, or I want to get past the play-in. But if we have a better year next year and we let these guys gel with a solid point guard, we're not asking everybody to do something that's out of their job description or their positional description, and we let them build their stock, then we can sell a little bit higher. I don't know, man. Y'all tell me, am I crazy for thinking that, or what's on your mind?
No, I don't think you're crazy at all for thinking that. Appreciate you, CJ. He talks about the things that I don't have a definitive answer for. I don't know. I just asked the question. Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. I just asked the question. What does what these guys went through last year, how much does that matter? You know, the coaching situation, personal issues with Zach LaVine and dealing with his wife and his newborn. We had guys like DeMar DeRozan, who's seen it all in this league, who's seen it all, say that was the craziest season I've ever seen. That was Doug Christie, for the better part of his time as head coach, was damn near coaching alone.
Right.
Yeah. Doug Christie kept referring to the Kings as an airplane he had to fix in the air.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good thing.
Nah, man. GM and front office guys who were done. One of them quit in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
One of them left as you're trying to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
One of them left. The other just was there. That's best case scenario. He was just there. Worst case scenario, he worked against you and did a trade in spite. Not necessarily the trade, but what you got in the trade. All that going on. If I tell you all that is gone next year, once again, is that worth one win? I don't know. Is it worth five wins? I don't know. But I think it's got to be worth something.
It's difficult for me to believe that there's not a human element involved in all of this. Like, just, I mean, I know we compartmentalize this stuff. It's just basketball. These guys are professional athletes, and that's it. So, you know, when a brother gets traded from, you know, across the country a couple of days after him and his wife have a child, and they all just up and move to California, like, yeah, there's going to be an impact there. There's going to be an impact on moving your family. There's going to be an impact on having a new member in your family. There's going to be an impact on living in a place where you don't know anyone and there's no one around to help you. And all of these different things are at play. There's an impact when your, you know, top player, star player, just not here no more. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. You've got players upset with their coach at the time because their coach at the time isn't playing one of the guys who they think can help them the most. Yeah, again, it's not making excuses for this team. It's really just a simple reality. That has to play a factor. Now, does it mean that this is a 50-win team, a 55-win team? Nope. We tried to establish last week, hey, maybe we it's I've asked this question 50 times this offseason to different people, to you, to us. Did the Sacramento Kings underachieve or did we overvalue? And the answer is yes and yes. To what degree, though, I think is the question. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about Schroeder, you want to talk about Westbrook, if you want to talk about moves that maybe don't thrill the fan base, it's cool, that's fine. I still think they're better than last year. And whether that's 45 wins, 46 wins, 47 wins, that's fine. We've already acknowledged you do that, at least based off the map of last year's Western Conference, you're in the exact same spot. Now, that's going to create a frustration for some people, but that's fine. Give me 47 wins in the same spot that 40 wins got me, and I'm going to feel different as the season moves along. Mm-hmm. This isn't a championship contender. I know that. I'm not approaching this season believing, man, if we don't win the title, this is going to suck. Mm-hmm. I'm not of that belief. I want this team to play better. I want this to be an entertaining form of basketball. I want these guys to establish value. I want Scott Perry to be able to find ways to make this team better. Now I want him to be able to find ways to be better at the trade deadline, and then I want him to find ways to be better when the offseason gets here. Like, that's what I expect Scott Perry to do, is to continue to make this basketball team better. Whatever moves that he makes in 2.5 hours or over the course of the next 48, 72, whatever amount of hours, I expect they're done with the idea that it makes the Sacramento Kings better.
Yeah, and that's it, man. And there are certain things that they'll do right now to make them better in the short term, like immediately. And there's things they probably won't do because it might hinder what they're able to do in the long term. And I like I said, I look at what happened last year as outside of injury, because for the most part, people were healthy. Domas got hurt last year, and Malik finished the season hurt as well. But for the most part, they were relatively healthy. Outside of injury, last year was just the worst as far as behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, once he got Roddy in the chat, I see him. He's like, so all this is just going to go away. Is it all Mike and Monty's fault? No, it's not. It's not all their fault. Number one, they played a role in it. Number two, the effects after Mike was gone was felt when you talk about some on the coaching staff just quitting. Mm-hmm. Like, people on the coaching staff, because they were Mike Brown guys and Mike Brown got fired, or they got out that, you know, there was direction to fire them. Mm-hmm. They quit.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Christie and maybe one or two other people had to run that coaching staff. So, not saying it's Mike Brown's fault, but that played a role later when he was gone. That won't be there. Maybe Doug can be a better coach because he has better help around him now. Is it Monty's
fault? Yeah, absolutely. I think that's absolutely a thing.
Yeah.
100%.
Is it Monty McNair's fault? Kind of, but I'm not even going to put it all on him. He was checked out at some point last year. And
he was walking around saying his goodbyes.
Yeah. And his assistant left in like March, mm-hmm. just left the operation mm-hmm. to accept another job. I don't think BJ Armstrong is leaving in March, leaving Scott Perry.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I can't tell you, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that those things result in 15 wins.
Mm-hmm.
It might, all that stuff and all the goodwill might result in one win. I don't know that. It might result in 8. I don't know that either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying those things, in my opinion, have to play a factor in the success or lack thereof of a team. If you're dealing with all that stuff last year, it's going to be hard to win. If you're not dealing with that, it may put you on a better path to being successful.
And that is one of the frustrating things about last season, is last season does feel like a what if. What if you had waited till the off season to deal with the De'Aaron Fox situation? What if the De'Aaron Fox situation hadn't happened? What if you hadn't re-signed Mike Brown last summer? What if you had traded De'Aaron Fox last summer versus this summer? Everybody talks about what his value would have been this off season. What if you don't bring Mike Brown back last year, which clearly someone in the organization didn't want to, and De'Aaron gives you the same ultimatum and you just trade him? What if that? There's so many different things at play here. And again, we might not get there in 1 year. We might not get there in one term. But can Scott Perry get us there?
Soren said earlier, oh, man, now Scott Perry's Obama.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Oh, man.
But I don't know. I mean, what was the campaign slogan? Well, it was yes, we can.
Hope.
Hope. That's it. It was hope. It was hope. The audacity of hope.
Hope starts today at about 3:01.
There it is. 3:01.
When they'll probably have a new point guard.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with that.
From Germany. Oh, man. I think the question is now legitimately becoming, will they have one new point guard at 3:01 or will they have two new point guards at 3:01?
I think at 3:01 they'll have one. At
3:02?
Well, I was going to say, like those guys.
How many tweets does Shams have in his draft right now?
He said it's going to be a major day, so maybe he's got a lot. No. I don't know.
Shams really been building this.
He's been selling the hell out of this free agency.
Shams has sold free agency better than the WWE sold WrestleMania this year.
It's facts.
He has made this like a must see event. Oh boy, Chris Haynes on NBA TV right now.
Shout out Chris Haynes. Big up Storm.
Looking good too. Good looking blue suit right there.
Down to the big three. I wish he would come back and play in this West Sac League that I'm playing in. He's supposed to be on that team.
Don't hurt yourself.
We had five players yesterday. I can't be playing 40 minutes a night.
It's 5-on-5 and you have five players?
Yeah.
Y'all are too old for that.
Yeah, you guys, all got, supposed to you guys be. All got jobs. Wrap it up.
We got like nine people on the roster, but it's every Sunday.
They all recognize that they're old.
Well, yeah, that's why we can't be playing 40 minutes. If you got me at like 22 minutes a night, cool. But 40, I can't do that. Nobody can. Still put up 27 last night. That's what I do.
5 40-year-olds playing 40 minutes in a basketball game is a trap.
And we was playing against 22-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. I would have went home.
Oh, yeah.
So, Chris, usually we'd be beating them, though, man. Usually we've been handling work. We had a tough year this year, or this session, but usually we'd be handling them. But, yeah, Chris, so busy doing work, he need to come play. But the thing I was going to say about the point guards, though, is do you think – like, do you think it would be two point guards today or one today at 3:01? And then the other one, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday.
About 3 hours ago, mm-hmm. 3.5 hours ago, I thought it was one. I'm starting to think it's two. And I at least have a little reason to believe my original sentiment on one of these point guards may have been wrong.
So
to answer your question, I think it's two. I think Dennis Schroeder gets announced at 3:01. like the second Shams alarm goes off, wherever Dennis Schroeder is in his drafts folder, I think that one happens. And I don't know, man. Like, I despite the fact I told everybody to leave me alone, I've gotten a few texts that says maybe my sentiment on Russ is off.
I hope it is, considering the other option.
I thought. So here's what we get. I've not heard Malcolm Brogdon from anyone. Not a single person.
You haven't heard, but I haven't.
I have not. I've heard absolutely nothing. Prior to about 2.5 hours ago, I hadn't heard anything about Russell Westbrook besides what Mark Stein has wrote. And I told you, I thought Russ had his team weeks ago. When you opt out of, especially in Russ's, when that wound down, when the Denver thing, ended, I just kept like, we talked about this throughout the year. Russ did some really good things, I think, for Denver. I don't know if that's going to change anyone's opinion on him. Like, Carmelo did some really good things for Portland. I don't know that it changed anybody's opinion on Carmelo after he did that stuff with Portland. Mm-hmm. But I just kept saying, I don't know where Russ is going to land. Like, I do not know. When he opted out, it was clear to me that there was more than one team that was interested in him. His agent did their due diligence, found out, like, hey, we've got something lined up. To opt out of that deal, I felt like they had something ironclad that they were committing to.
For sure.
And I didn't think Sacramento was a part of that process because I didn't think he was talking to multiple different teams. Mm-hmm. Maybe that team that I have in my head was actually Sacramento. Maybe my whole thought process on how this is working with Russell Westbrook is wrong, and he knows, you know, maybe there is a thought that maybe Indiana has gotten in the picture after what happened to Tyrese. Maybe there are other teams that have gotten in on this picture since, you know, the playoffs have ended. So maybe it's changed his way of thinking a little bit. But I didn't think Russell Westbrook was realistic in Sacramento. Now I at least am. Now it might be more possible than I realized. Mm. Say that.
If the Brody came to Sacramento, I'd be hyped. I know he's not the Brody of old, and, you know, he's trick or treat at this point. Mm-hmm. But
I'd still be surprised. I would. That's just me trying to protect my heart. Because if that tweet comes through, you know, I'm gonna be very excited. But I just from a business perspective, mm-hmm. I can't figure it out because they had to have been confident opting out. I feel like with the stage Russ is in his career, you not only are you confident, but you probably have a, hey, we're going to do this? Word? Okay, let's do it. You don't go back on that. Mm-hmm. Russ's agent, particularly, mm-hmm. you don't go back on that. Mm-hmm. So it's just hard for me to believe that unless it was Sacramento to begin with.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's a real possibility Sacramento was involved.
And here's why it makes sense. The availability for the position has always been there. Mm-hmm. And, it's the West Coast. It's the proximity to Los Angeles. Like, I do think that matters. Westbrook is at the stage of his career where, obviously, I'm sure next to his family, the most important thing. But, yo, that man's got, like, foundations and charities. And he's got, you know, a million things that he's working on in Compton and in various different parts of Los Angeles. He's got his clothing line. He has other interests that he pays attention to that are all based here on the West Coast. Yeah. So, yeah, that stuff does matter, especially, you know, when you're 30 something years old and your career is in the league is likely winding down.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. If they did sign Russell Westbrook or anybody, or Malcolm Brogdon or whoever, man, I would hope they found some takers for some one or two of these players. That's a lot. Schroeder, we'll say Westbrook because that's what I want. Mm-hmm. Schroeder, Westbrook, Monk, Devin Carter, Keon Ellis. That's a lot. I said before Schroeder and Westbrook, I said one of the three probably has to go between Keon, Monk, and Devin Carter. Not because they're bad, but you can split that up a little bit and go get a player for a position of need. Now you've added two more players to that.
And that's the problem. I think they have two players they want to move and can't. So.
Well, I wonder, would it become a situation, and I wouldn't want this, but I'm also not opposed to this, where you just gotta, what's the term? You take 25 cents on the dollar mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. somebody. Like maybe you don't. Maybe you look at Devin Carter and you think his value is higher than, you know, some random second string guy or something like that. Yeah. But you almost got no choice to do that. Maybe you wouldn't even want to give up on a Devin Carter this early for a guy that's for a Johnny Juzang or something like that. I know mm-hmm. he's a free agent now, but just somebody like that. Maybe you're like, man, I don't want to give up Devin Carter and give up on him for a guy like that. Mm-hmm. But the way this roster is constructed and the way that some of your money was tied up, you may have to.
There's a lot more to get into regarding Sacramento because everyone's talking about, you know, the Keon situation and picking up the option, what that means for his future and how risky and sketchy things might become here moving forward. The Keegan Murray contract is an interesting one to watch. Obviously, the Keegan Murray contract has always been a fascinating thing to think about. Jabari Smith Jr., signed his contract. That one, I think the Rockets are killing this offseason.
And then the rumors they got too, if they can get.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We'll get to it. But the greater point is Jabari's contract and how it could relate to the Sacramento Kings and Keegan Murray.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that. There's so much more ahead. We're about an hour and some change away from the start of free agency. It's D'Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
There we go. Friend of the program on NBA TV right now. Just a bunch of D'Lo and KC friends on there, Chris.
Hey,
Hayes
for real.
Hey, man. Yeah. Is the ESPN thing is official with him yet?
Who?
Man, he's going to ESPN.
Oh, is he? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, it got announced.
Did Ann announce it? And I just missed it?
I think he might have. I don't know. It was maybe about a month ago.
Damn. For real?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. My bad, Ant.
Going to ESPN, or it might already be there. I don't know how that works out.
There's got to be a special on ESPN, right? We had NBA TV on because there was a W game on earlier. I guess not.
No,
really?
Yeah, no special. They should be doing some on ESPN News at least, but I don't think so.
Yo, do for real, like. Y'all are airing NFL Live 24/7, and we can't get a free agency special on?
The disrespect. Peacock isn't going to do that. They'll
That's what I was
live.
Just. Yeah. Maybe this. All right. We'll wait and see. All right. Maybe that Sports Center is. Maybe that's it.
Mm.
That's it. That the Sports Center is normally not that long. Maybe no. That's what that is.
And they don't.
I don't want to.
They don't have anything here, going on today. ESPN as far as like games or stuff like that, so you do a damn special for the NFL schedule release. they do like a 2.5 hour special, like settle down, just roll out the schedules. We don't need all that.
All right, what happens over the course of the next hour and 12 minutes will be interesting. You know, it's funny. Michael adds, what are the odds that Westbrook to the Kings is just a smokescreen to drive up Westbrook's salary? Well, it might not be the Kings using Russell Westbrook. It might not be the Kings that are getting used to drive up his salary. If you look around, there are other teams linked to Russell Westbrook with dollar figures attached to it. So I don't know, man. I'm just a broadcast journalist. That's all I am. And I'm excited to see. Believe me, if I get a text that says Russell Westbrook, you're gonna know. Like, there are few people on this planet that know me better than my man sitting across from me, my brother over here, and both of my brothers over there in the studio,
yep,
and the 2,700 people watching this program. If someone texts me, hey, Russ is coming to say, everyone is going to know. You will all know. Now, the radio audience might be a little slower to figure it out, but I assure you, everyone will know. But I don't know if he is or he isn't. Look, I am not impartial when it comes to Russell Westbrook. Y'all can think whatever you want about him. If he's playing in this city,
I'm hyped.
Yeah.
I want to see Russ at the Golden 1 Center.
He has been my favorite athlete for going on what, like a decade now?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to be like, oh, he's past his prime. I don't care. Russell Westbrook's playing for my basketball team. Yes.
Man.
Yes, I'm
on,
all
man.
For it.
Russell Westbrook, the Kings clinch a playoff spot in game 81. And Russ does what he did in game 7 of that Nuggets Clippers series. Remember when he dunked and hung on the rim, got a tech?
Yeah. One of the great aura moments of all time.
I'm just passing out right there in either the media section or my seat, either one. Hey, call the ambulance for KC. He's passed out. Russell Westbrook just went crazy, got a technical.
Matt George tweeted a couple minutes ago, Russell Westbrook to Sacramento has a lot more momentum than I realized, and they may not have to pick between Rush or Schroeder either. Again, that's from our man, Matt George. about 10 minutes ago. I'm going to cry if this happens. I'm going to be like Pat Bev on the scorer's table.
I know Drew, the local guy's listening. Get the clip ready. Get the clip ready. Get the clip ready.
Holding the Russell Westbrook treat like Jordan did the trophy.
Oh, man.
I love it.
I wish I could ask Sam Amick how he feels if this happens, because Sam does not like Russell Westbrook.
Oh, no.
Or at least I've got the impression that Sam doesn't like Russell Westbrook.
Hopefully everybody can get along. Remember, did you hear at one time, I think they're cool now. Like, I think it's they're not like friends, but it's all good. But did you know Bonte and Russ got into it one time?
Okay, let's try this. Who is Bonte not pissed off?
And this was like when Bonte was like he wasn't Bonte TV Bonte. He wasn't even Morning Roast Bonte.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those clips. I think it circulated around. It's not the what? It's not that one. But it was after one of the Warriors games, and Bonte asked Russ a question, and he kind of went off or whatever. And Bonte, to his credit, not in no disrespectful way, he didn't back down, though. He still was like, nah, what's up? Like, I asked you the question, what's going on? And, yeah, they had a little moment.
Bonte be standing on business, though. That's my man. Bonte, of course, I don't talk to him as much now that he's TV Bonte.
Seen him. I saw him in that disastrous situation that went on this weekend. Maybe we'll talk about that at another time.
Yeah, sorry.
Or
about
not.
That. Sorry about that.
I
bro.
Was disgusted.
Yeah.
And still am.
Understood. And that's how we were worried Kings fans will feel when free agency starts at 3:00.
Don't just be disgusted.
Maybe not disgusted. Underwhelmed, frustrated. And that's the thing. Okay, let's have a real discussion, and this requires crowd participation.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of people because, it's free agency. Numbers are sky high, man. We love y'all so much. But let's get active for a minute. Pass the thumbs up and the subscribe buttons. Let's have a conversation for a second.
Okay.
What is it that you wanted to happen this year? Like, did you want a quick fix? Did you want a complete teardown? Like, what could Scott Perry in this new front office have done to have made you happy or optimistic or, hell, just to have made you smile? Yeah. What could they have done? Because, again, they can't fix everything this year.
Yeah.
We can argue forever about what waiting to trade De'Aaron Fox would have done. They didn't. He was traded. Zach LaVine is here. Scott Perry took over after that deal was done. Scott Perry took over after the season was done. So what? What's the answer? Some people say tear down and rebuild. Got it. Completely understand. So that's the trade. Domas? Do you think that's easy? The man is one of the, and I think we all agree on this, one of the most disrespected and likely undervalued players in the entire league. He gets paid $120-something million over the course of the next 3 years, and the league is just going to go, give me that. Hmm. No, you can't. No, that's not a thing.
Right.
That's... We might be the only two people who in the world who think this. That contract, to me, is just as difficult to move as Zach LaVine's. So you have the Zach LaVine issue. You're going to trade him? What are you going to... One, who's going to do that? Then you got DeMar. Could you get something for DeMar? Sure. Draft picks? I don't know that anyone... But like, late round? You probably could have traded DeMar DeRozan for what you traded 2 second-round picks for, theoretically, with Oklahoma City. We go over this all of the time. Unless you're willing to position yourself like the Philadelphia 76ers and suck for years. The idea of rebuilding, Utah has no direction. None.
They out here training for Nurkic.
Oklahoma City.
just because.
Oklahoma City landed in, one, Oklahoma City was brilliant with every asset they ever had. But they landed in the Paul George hostage crisis that was the negotiation with the Los Angeles Clippers. And OKC had the ability to dictate their price. We want this, this, and this, this, and then this. Oh, by the way, this deal does not get done without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Does not get done. Clippers fought. OKC said, cool, we'll just keep Paul George. Risk Kawhi Leonard going to the Lakers. But we're not doing this deal until the Clippers did what? Doc Rivers said, well, we're not trading for Paul George. We're trading for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, which is the biggest load of crap I've ever heard.
Hey, chill out. It made a lot of sense.
Thank you, Doc. Guess what? I guess it did make sense, but the deal gets done. OKC is in the position that they are in. That's a 101, dog. Name another team that's done it. And that's, one, Sam Presti's brilliance, but they have been savvy. They took risk. The Paul George trade was a risk. He was an expiring contract. Mm-hmm. They took him just as Toronto took Kawhi. We'll try. We'll see what we could do. And they won him over. He re-signs, says, get me out of here. And they win the NBA championship a handful of years later. There's just not many teams in the league like that.
Right.
Michael says Rockets Spurs. Spurs landed Victor Wembanyama. Like, cool. If you want to run the risk of landing the number one overall pick in a truly, it's not generational, isn't even the proper term. Mm-hmm. You're literally talking about a one of a kind player.
Right.
And how did they get that number one pick again? It wasn't because they were the worst team in the league.
Yeah, they...
They won the lottery.
Won the lottery. They, I don't want to say got lucky, but you got lucky.
The Rockets are... They're almost in between. But they had assets to move because they were once really good. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about rebuilding. Most teams are actually rebuilding. The Kings aren't rebuilding. Mm-hmm. They're just... They messed up the house. And so they're trying to fix it they can't tear the whole house down. They're just trying to, add another room or change the wallpaper. Put some, I don't know who uses wallpaper anymore. Changes the color of the wall. That's what the Kings would do, though, is use wallpaper. It's like, nah, bitch, put a nicer wall up. They're just like stuck in no man's land.